And we thank God for them. Stand to your feet for a little while for him, so we can go to the Lord in prayer. Anybody got anything that we need to be praying for that you want us to touch and agree this morning while we go for the throne of grace? She don't have to, mother. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. If you can't, you don't have to. You don't have to stand. Father, we come before you right now, God. First of all, Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, for being good to us. We want to thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord God. God, you told us, God, when we come into your presence, God, that we enter your presence with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. So, God, we lift our hands and tell you thank you, Lord God, for where you brought us from, God, how you brought us out, God, of certain things in our lives, Lord. Father, we pray, God, that you'll bless this mother here, God, that obeyed, Father God, even though, Father God, she mustered up the strength, God. We ask that you will bless her, Father God. Give her a miracle, Lord God, for her obedience in the name of Jesus. We pray for our pastor this morning, God. We still undergird her, God, with strength, God, in the name of Jesus. We still pray, Father God, that you would just bring all the way out, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we pray, Father God, that you will give her that joy, God, unspeakable and full of glory in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father God, that you would use, Father God, your servant, oh God, use me this morning, Father, to be able, God, to bless your people, Father God, to build up, God, to encourage, Father God, to edify, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless the people, God, that came out this morning, God. Bless them, Father God, with the blessings that they're standing in the need of, God. We ask it all, God, only in one name, in Jesus' mighty name, God. We thank you. We give you praise, glory, and all the honor. The church said, amen. Thank you. Give him praise again. He's worthy. He is worthy. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. He is good. Starting at the very first verse, chapter 17 of the book of Acts. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down, and they are come hither too." Here it is, Paul preaching the gospel, and some believe and some didn't believe. But as Paul began to preach the gospel, they heard about what Paul had did back over in Macedonia and the other places where he had just come from. And so they said, when they had found them not, they drew Jason. Jason was a Christian that kept Paul and Silas company in the company of his house. And when they couldn't find him, so they got on Jason. They really pressed up on him to ask him, "Where are these people at?" And they said, they brought him before the rulers, crying, "These have turned the world upside down." See, the devil don't want the gospel to be preached. The devil don't want you saying nothing about Jesus. And it's the name of Jesus that we ought to be using. We love God, and it's so easy to say God. If Paul and Silas had came there and said, "This God," there wouldn't have been no problem with them, because it is said that they had over 30,000 gods that they worshiped. They had over 30,000 idols that they worship. So these people believe just about anything. But it's always something about the gospel of Jesus. When you use that name Jesus, that's when you get attacked. When you use Jesus, that's when the devil gets angry and gets upset at you. He bring your family against you. You know, when you're worshiping Jesus and trying to live for Jesus, the devil gonna come at you. And so they said, these men have turned the world upside down. The world, everywhere they went, teaching and preaching the gospel, caused all kinds of disturbances and disruptions in cities and towns and nations. Everywhere they went, they caused a disruption. Why? Because wherever they went, they was using the name of Jesus. And so when you use that name of Jesus, you're going to disrupt some things. You're going to disrupt so many things in this world, because the devil don't want it. He don't want nothing to change. And so remember when Paul was grieved in his spirit, when he had commanded this devil to come out of this woman that was possessed with the spirit of divination, Paul, he got upset. He was angry about not what the woman was saying, but he was angry about what the devil was doing to the woman. And see, they know that they were making money off of this woman, and the devil don't care. He don't care nothing about you. And people don't care nothing about you. Some people don't. They just want to use you for what they can use you for. You know, everybody that say, Lord, Lord, ain't no brother, no sister. You will know them by the fruit that they bear. You will know them by the fruit they bear. So people want to use you for what they want to use you for. They'll use you all the way up if you let them. You got to have some wisdom today. Even your siblings, your brothers and your sisters, they'll use you to where you can't be used no more. Once they use you up, guess what? They're going to find somebody else they can use up. They're going to keep on using you. Keep on using to where you ain't no good for yourself or nobody else, let alone Christ. And so these are the men that shook the world. Turned this whole world upside down. They was turning the hearts of the men to Christ. You know, they was turning their worship into true worship. You know, they had these idols that they worshiped. You know, these 30,000 idols that they had. They were worshiping. They were doing all kind of stuff in Athens. They were doing everything over there. And so Paul went with the gospel, and they shook up the world, and they caused some disruptions. You know, and when you disrupt some that the devil is doing, he gonna come at you. He gonna come full force, all his little gods, his little devils, he gonna come. But you ain't got to be afraid of no devil. You ain't got to be afraid of nobody. If you're living for Jesus, if you're standing for Jesus, Jesus is gonna protect you. Jesus is gonna watch over you. Jesus is gonna fight your battle. So if you want to disrupt what the devil is doing in your children's life, talk to him about the Lord. If you want to disrupt what's going on in your job, talk to him about Jesus. If you want to disrupt what's going on the street and what's going on in our nation and in the world, all they need to know is about Jesus. What's going on over in Libya? God told us, the Lord told us that all of these earthquakes and diverse places, this stuff was going to happen. And we're seeing it today. Every day we're living the word. Every day we're living the word. All they need to know is something about Jesus over there. Libya get right. America get right. The devil trying to turn our world upside down. He's trying to turn this nation upside down with all of these idols and all of these things that they're trying to bring into this nation. This ungodly states that they're bringing. God ain't pleased with that. And God got a few that's still standing for righteousness. He still got a few that's standing for holiness. He still got a few that ain't bowed down to Baal nor kissed his lip. He got a few that's ready to go and say, Lord, whatever you tell us to do, that's what we gonna do. Whatever you say, Lord, that's what we gonna say. You got to say it, do it, whether you like it or not, whether you know what's gonna happen or not. Because rest assured, saints, what they suffered and what they're suffering, if we keep living for Jesus, If you keep on preaching Jesus, Brother Al, you keep on living right and trying to do right and try to please this God, rest assured, your persecution coming too. Ain't no persecution coming if you ain't living for Christ. There ain't no test without testimony. You got to go through some something. You got to go through some things. You just got to go through. So they disrupt everything that the devil was doing. And the people didn't like it, so they went looking for them. And disruption is a drastically, all of a sudden, change. It alters or it destroys the structure of, and that's what the word of God does. It all of a sudden causes a drastic change in your life. It all of a sudden causes a drastic change in your children's life. All we got to do is just keep on bombarding the heaven's gates. All we got to do is keep on standing on this word. I know we over here every Wednesday night. We don't miss a Wednesday, but we still believing that God is going to turn some things around. We still believe in his vision. We still believe in his prophecy. We still believe in his word, because God's word don't lie. It's going to disrupt what my children doing, because I'm going to keep on asking them. It's going, all of a sudden they're going to want to come. My son, one of my sons, I know God is disrupting their lives, because their speech is betraying them. They're speaking the way that they never spoke before. They're talking to me about Jesus, not God no more. They're talking to me about the Lord now. And I got one son that we sent to school. Y'all know him, Chump. Sent to school to play the piano. I found out that I didn't know that he'd be over here playing the piano. He live up the street. I found out through a brother that we've been praying for, God blessed him, that he be over here playing the piano. He said, boy, why ain't you over here playing the piano for a church? I don't know. But God gonna all of a sudden drastically just turn things around in his life. He gonna want to play the piano. He didn't want to play the piano for when he was a little boy for no reason. God put that in his heart. We didn't coerce him. I thought, well, why don't you play the drums? You know, get a guitar. Why you want to play that complicated instrument? And he can play it too. He still remember how to play it. But God wants us to know that when you start believing this gospel, you start preaching this gospel, you start living this gospel, God's going to all of a sudden change some things. Some things are going to suddenly turn around. They're going to suddenly turn around. You watch and see. All you got to do is keep on believing, keep on praying, keep on holding on. And don't be afraid that you won't see it. Believe that you'll see it. Believe that you will see it, and you will see it. You're going to see it, because God wants you to see it. He don't want you, look, he said hope deferred make a heart sick. He don't want you leaving out here in despair and disbelief. Well, I wonder if it happened. You will see it. If you can believe it, you're going to see it. So God, he's going to disrupt some stuff. I'm ready for God to disrupt some things. He's going to turn the hearts of not only the men, but the hearts of our children. He gonna turn the hearts of the children back to the Father, and turn the hearts of the Father back to the sons. He gonna get this thing right, because we having a problem down here getting things right. We can't agree on stuff, you know, but we still love one another. We don't understand things like one another, but we still love one another. But God gonna get this thing together. He know how to bring it together. He know how to put it together. He started it. He gonna finish it. That's why he said, it is finished, Father. Everything that you wanted me to do, everything that you said you wanted me to do, is finished. It's over with, devil. And you can't have none of them. All that the Father has given me gonna come to me. And you can't take them out of my hand. I don't care how bad the situation they are in. I don't care how bad of a child they look like. Boy, we got some children out here I heard some of the stuff that my son, I'm like, man, where you get that stuff from? Well, Dad, and Lord said, well, such was some of you. I said, yeah, you're right, Lord. I was worse when I listened. I was worse. Yeah, Didi. We sit down and talk. You be like, Brother Al, are you saved? Some question each other's salvation. And so he said, and they have come and turned the world upside down. They've turned the world upside down. God want us to get out there and turn this world upside down. We can turn it upside down. Yes, we can. You know, we got the same thing that Paul, Silas, Peter, and all those other disciples had. We got the gospel of the good news. You don't hear too much good news no more. Turn on 2, 4, and 5. You don't hear nothing good no more. Nothing good. You got to hear good news from us. If we ain't spreading the good news, there ain't no good news out there. So we got to spread the good news of the gospel that Jesus still saves. Jesus still delivers. Jesus is still alive. And people don't believe that he's alive today. They just know that he died. They believe, well, he died. But it don't stop right there. It ain't the story that ain't finished right there. He rose again. And he yet lives today. I know my Redeemer liveth. And my soul, David said, know it right well. I know it. My soul knows he lived. And he said, and they have come here also. Now they done shook up everybody else's world and caused a disturbance over there, causing people to serve this Jesus. We can't make our money like we used to make it. We can't do the things that, you know, that we want to do. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and all them, they had all of these rules for you to keep. Do as I say, but not as I do. And they breaking every one of the laws, you know. And so they shook up the world, but now they are coming over here too. The devil don't want to see you coming. He don't want to hear you coming to my way. I come in the name of the Lord. He don't want to hear you coming like Pastor said when she went to the hospital. They said, you keep doing this, we won't have no job. You keep healing folk like this, we won't have no work. And that's what it's all about. Money, fame, you know. Jesus get all the fame. And you keep doing this, we won't have no job. Paul wasn't come to put them out. He come put the devil out of business. God want us to put the devil out of business. The devil got too much going on in the world. And we just let it ride, let it ride, let it ride. Well, we going to pray about it. We got to start getting out there and start speaking to this devil. Paul and them went. They went in hostile territory, unfamiliar territory, not knowing what's going to befall them. But they said, we hazard our lives for the gospel's sake. We're not hazarding our lives for the gospel's sake. But once you get out there, you're going to hazard your life. You start, get on your job and start speaking about the Lord. And watch and see what happened. They gonna try to shut you up. Don't try to close your mouth. We don't talk around here. We don't talk about that around here. Why? Why, Brother Al? Why can't we talk about Jesus around here? Because they know this pride stuff is taking over the jobs. They even got it on our ID badges. They try to make us wear shirts. And we're saying, no, I don't want to wear that shirt. Give me a different kind of shirt. I don't want no rainbow shirt. Only rainbow shirt I want, if it's saying what God told Moses. This is a sign for you to let you know that I ain't going to flood this earth no more. But all this other stuff that they got, this pride comes before destruction. And a haughty look before a fall. So you better humble yourself, because if you don't, you're going to have a fall. You're going to have destruction in your life. And so when you come talking about the Lord on your job, you're going to get ridiculed. They're going to pull you in the office and try to shut you up. We don't do that around here. Everybody's inclusive and diverse. Well, why can't we include my Lord? You know, why can't we include the way that I pray? Why can't I call his name? Why I got to do it your way, which is the wrong way? You know, there is a way, the Bible said, that seemed right to man. But in the end, he says death. So if you ain't got if you're not walking his way, your feet ain't ordered by, your steps not ordered by him, then you walk in the wrong way. You walk in the wrong way. And so it said there, come over here now. They start talking about this Jesus over here now to shake up our world, to cause disturbance over here. And you can say all you want about God, and we love our Father. But when you start talking about Jesus, the Son of God who died and rose, who lives forevermore, who has all power and authority in his hand, who can heal the sick, who can move mountains, cause the blind to see, open the deaf ears, who can raise the dead, and anything else that you can believe him for. Anything else you can believe for. They come over here too now and they talking that crazy talk. The devil don't want to see you. He don't want to see you coming. You know, Paul came to deliver the people. You know, he said, look, just like Pastor went into the hospitals, I was saying that she went in there and they was afraid that they was going to lose their job. Not even concerned about the people's well-being. Not even rejoicing that the people were getting well. Because they had something to gain from people. But Paul came to put the devil out of business. The gospel wants us to put the devil out of business. He came to cripple the devil and cause us to walk. You know, the devil want to cripple you. He wants you to be destitute. He wants you to be lame. You know, he don't want you thinking or knowing who you are in Christ. He don't even want you to know that you can do all things, that you can stand in the midst of hard trials and tests, that you ain't got to revert to this suicidal spirit. All is lost, then I don't want to live either. You have a whole lot to live for. Because when you come out of what you're going through, you'll be able to encourage and strengthen your brother and your sister. That's why Jesus said, Peter the devil, he wants to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for, we got to pray for some folk. And he said, when you are converted, we got to keep praying until they get converted. Until they come out. He said, go and strengthen your brother. So it ain't always just for you. It ain't woe is me. It ain't woe is me. Why the devil always picking on me? You know, Charlie Brown, you know, I'm always the one. God got something in you that he's trying to use. He's trying to bring something out of you. God is trying to use what's inside you, what happened to you for his glory. Not for you to be down, your head hung low. Talking about you always going, keep going through. You ought to rejoice that you're going through. You ought to be kind of concerned if the devil ain't never picking on you. If he ain't touching you here and there every once in a while, you need to check yourself. Like, Lord, I need a test and a trial too. Every once in a while, I want to make sure that I'm in good standings with you, Lord. You know, somebody said, don't pray for patience, Brother Al. That's the wrong thing to pray for. I'm going to pray for whatever I need. They say, my elders told me, if you pray for patience, then you're going to have a whole lot of tests and trials. You know, the patience bring that trials and tests. I said, I thought when I signed up for this thing, I was going to get that anyway. When I said yes, Lord, to your will, yes to your way, I thought I just knew I was going to get some trouble. Because when I wasn't in Christ, everything was okay. I had a pocket full of money. I did what I wanted to do. Wasn't ridiculed about it. But the moment I said, Lord, save my soul. Lord, for you I live and for you I'll die. That's where my problems came. That's where my tests and my trials came. But they didn't just come by themselves. Jesus came with them. Jesus was right there with them tests, with me in them tests and them trials. He brought me out of every one of them. Not a friend, not my mama, not my daddy, not my brother, not my sister. But the Lord brought me out. He brought me out of my tests and my trial. He's the one, he's the reason why that I'm standing here today to be able to talk about who he is. He's the reason. Jesus and nobody else, not even myself. So the devil don't want to see you doing nothing. The people that are feeling hopeless. God wants us to get out there and tell the people there is hope to their end. The people that are out there sick. Think they can't get well. God wants us to get out there and tell them you can be well. Yes, you can. We was praying for this brother Wednesday night, Brother Joe. Brother, you know, asked us to pray for him. He sent me a text this morning. He said, you tell the saints I thank them for praying. I got a good report. And he said, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the next day I called him. I said, I feel led to call you again and pray for you again, brother. He said, what's going on? He said, well, I got to go to the heart doctor today. I said, oh, man, okay. But Wednesday night, God gave me a word and said, I will. I said, Lord, I didn't feel led to say it here. And so this morning he texted me, said, man, I got a good report. The doctor said, I'm doing good. My heart is strong. He said, all I got to do, Fred, he said, all I got to do is just do what I used to do. He said, my two W's, I got to walk and drink more water. He said, I have to leave this stuff alone. And that's what's getting us in trouble, this stuff. It ain't always the enemy. It's the enemy of our soul. It's this flesh that's getting us in trouble too. That's what it is. And he said, man, but God gave me a good report. The doctor said my heart is strong. He said my blood pressure is good, Fred, man. He said, I'm doing well. See, I was saying, man, look, God said he will. If we will, he will. If we are willing, God is more than able. He's more than able. And so God wants us to tell the folk that you can get well. You know, ain't nothing too hard for God. Ain't no sickness. Ain't no disease. Ain't none of that stuff out there that God can't bring you out of. Oh, man, this sounds too far-fetched. You know, God gave us doctors. Yes, he did. But the doctors are sending people home saying, ain't nothing else I can do for you. You know, I believe God gave us doctors. Pastor said God gave us doctors because we lack faith. I believe that. But God gave us doctors too. So when God touches us and heals us, that they will say, you well, ain't nothing else I can do. That what they said in the Bible. Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. He going to declare you well. Go show yourself to the doctor after you leave me. After you leave my office, go show yourself to the doctor. They going to declare you well. They going to say, ain't nothing wrong with you. How many got a report like that before? Huh? Come on. How many got a report going to the doctor just to declare you well so you can go back to school, go back to work? My son was diagnosed, I don't know how, and where the school get it from, said he had a heart condition. Just come home from school and say, well, where this come from? Did they call a doctor in the school? Why'd they pick him? I mean, I'm not kidding. I don't know. I don't understand how you come home from school with a diagnosis of a heart condition. So they said, we can't let him back to school until he go to the doctor. And at this time, we didn't have a building. We were searching for a building. We was pastor called us and said, look, we're going to Church on the Rock. We're going to go somewhere. We're going to be somewhere sitting in church. If we ain't got no building, we can go and worship with our brothers. And so I said, I'm not going to go. And I told my wife, I said, don't you say anything to him about what they said. See, the devil wants you to plant that seed. And once you plant that seed in that child or in that person, especially when you know their faith is not where it's supposed to be, then whatsoever man thinketh, that shall he be. And if he just start thinking about, because they said he couldn't run, he couldn't do sports, they said he couldn't do nothing. I'm like, well, you tell me my child can't be a child, he can't be a kid. I said, don't say nothing to him about that. And she's like, Al, I said, look, he don't need to know. We need to know. We need to do what's best for him. And so we going to the church. And Twan said, Al, you going? I said, no, I'm not going to go. I had plans on staying back, crying out for my child. You know, that's what I was going to do. I said, Lord, you know. I said, y'all go ahead. I got something I want to do. And so Twan was going to leave, and Spirit of the Lord said, go. I said, hold up. I got to come. Get over in that church, praising and worship. Man, I couldn't stop praising and worshiping. I couldn't stop because I had a need. My child had a need. You know, Joshua, I think he's in, oh my God, maybe sixth grade or something like that. I was going for him. I said, Lord, the devil is a lie and the father of lies. And so they thought I was crazy. Because I just couldn't stop praising God. And then Pastor Blunt, he get up there and he preaches. And man, I'm hearing what he's saying. Not quite. Because my head down, I'm still crying out to God. Man, I'm crying for my child. And all of a sudden, in the middle of his sermon, that man stopped, put his Bible down, said, and looked around. I won't ever forget that day of my life. He says, somebody's here. Has been diagnosed with a heart problem. Boy, when he said that, I stood up again and folk thought I was crazy. Man, I started worshiping, praising God. And I mean, I went on and went on and went on and went on. He said, I want you to know that God has touched and healed that heart. Man, I took that word and I ran with it. But we still had to go to the doctor. We still had to go to the physician. But I'd already been to the doctor. They didn't know. I'd already been to the physician. I went to the great physician in the spirit. I went to him first. I went to his door. And then the doctor didn't have to make a call. I made a call. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I was calling on God for my child. And so when we went to the doctor, we was there from morning, Children's Hospital. We were there from morning to evening. They gave him every test that they can give him. And you know the report that I got. That doctor called me up there and said, man, look, I don't know who and what they saw. He said, but ain't nothing wrong with your child's heart, man. Ain't nothing wrong. I said, so he can be a kid again? He said, he can do what he want to do. I said, thank you. But I need this to show the school. See, God wants to do it for you. God can do it for you. He said, look, go to the doctor so they can declare. Because I couldn't get back. He couldn't get back in school and except he get the doctor report. I ain't going to let him back in. So he needed that. You go. But God delivered him. I mean, brought him through. How I know. See, I ain't finished. The story don't stop there yet. Yeah, I believe God did in what the doctor said. But this boy decided to run cross country right after that. And I'm thinking, are you sure you want to do that? He said, yeah, Dad. I mean, come on, when y'all know your nieces, sister come over our house, what do? We play basketball. You know, Brianna come over, we breaking out basketball. That's all I taught them. But all of a sudden, you want to run cross country? That's the longest. You know, and I'm like, oh, you, I almost said something about the heart, Brother Joe. And I said, go ahead. You can do it. Man, it was, had to be 1,000 kids out there. I walked up to the line with him. I grabbed his hand. I prayed with him. I said, Lord, you keep my baby. You watch over him, God. Pow! They ran. And as they went into the woods, I was running behind till I couldn't see him no more. And man, boy, I was waiting. I'm pacing. I'm in the car. Al, is he back yet? I said, no. So I started seeing some of his members from the school crossing the finish line. And so I got worried, mother, and I walk. I'm like, where is Joshua? Where is he? And I'm finna running back toward the woods. He ran behind me and said, Dad. I said, what were he said, man, Dad, I placed third. I said, oh, that's good. He said, no, Dad. Third out of all of these people, not third in my school. I thought he was talking about third in his school. He placed third out of all. And God said, I told you that I would do this thing for you. God said he will do it if you believe him. He said he can do it, and God can do anything. He has shown me too many times. He has shown me too many times what he can do and who he is. So they didn't want to hear this gospel. People don't want to hear about what Jesus can do. I'm here to tell you that Jesus can do anything that you want him to do. Anything that you need him to do. If you can believe it. You can believe it. But they didn't believe it. So Paul went anyway. I got to preach this gospel because Paul knew what happened to him. He knew how God brought him out. Out of everything that he thought he knew. Killing the saints. I'm doing this for God. Causing them to blaspheme. I'm doing this for God. But look at God's mercy. Look at his grace. All the stuff that Paul did. All the stuff that I did. All the stuff that you did. Look now. Look where you're sitting at today. By grace and mercy. His goodness. Follow you all the days of your life. Even when you were a child, you didn't know goodness and mercy was behind you. When you was a teenager, you didn't know goodness and mercy was there. When you came grown and got a little sassy with mom and daddy, you didn't know goodness and mercy was still there. It's always there. His goodness and his mercy is everlasting. It's there. He never takes it back. He never takes it back. Here it is. They say he coming over here too. It's time for us to go and shake up some worlds. It's time for us to go over there and say, yeah, we coming over here too. We're going to preach Jesus over here. We don't know what anybody else been preaching over here. We went to a place where mother lived at. And the guard up there, he said, man, look. He said, what denomination is you? I said, we ain't no denomination. I said, we just preach Jesus. We're just Christian. He said, good. You all need to come because they got all kind of folk coming here preaching all kind of stuff. That's what he told me and pastor. He said, they got all kind of stuff coming in here. He said, good, you can come in here. Come on in. The guard be up there. Come on. People need, they know that they need the Lord. They know they need Jesus. All this stuff. People are pushing across the pulpit, pushing out there in the world, telling people that they can live any kind of way in all kind of ways that they want to. No, you got to live a clean life, a holy life, a righteous life. Well, I'm just human, Brother Al. Yes, you are just human, but you also are God. Yes, you are. See, God said, look, they thought these men were so wise in themselves, and these philosophers, Epicureans and Stoics and all these folk, they thought that they had it all. They knew it all. They thought they knew everything. And see, God, we think that God is a projection of us. You know, they had all these gods they had to, you know, sacrifice to, and, you know, in order to get what they thought they were going to get, you know. And God said, no, I'm not a projection of man. You know, you throw something up on that screen up there and it projects. That's what we're supposed to be right there, what the word says. God said, you are a projection of me. He said, I said, let us make man in our likeness and our image. Not let man make me in your likeness and image. So we got to be found doing what God tells us to do. We got to be living how God tells us to live. That's the projection. And if we're looking like Jesus, man, we're looking good. If you sound like Jesus, you sounding good. You sounding real good. Keep on singing your song. We got to pray and ask God to get us a musician. Because my little sister sang that song, and she had to make her own music. But you did it anyway. You did it for the glory of God. You was not ashamed of the gospel. You was not ashamed of your Jesus. You did it anyway. A lot of folks sitting on a whole lot of shameful things that they need to be doing for God. My God, he's good. And so God want us to shake up this world. We can shake it up. We can shake it up, but we're going to get some shaking in too. God really going to shake us. And so let us go down to verse 21. God is a merciful God. I'm trying to see. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to start up at verse 18. I'll start verse 18. And certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemed to be a set of forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. See, they thought Jesus and the resurrection was two different gods. They believed all had, like I said, they said that these folk had over 30,000 idols that they worship. And he said, and they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what these new doctrines, what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all, the Bible said, for all the Athens and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. So these folk were sitting around. The Bible said they sat around just waiting to hear and see something new. And there was some, because Paul said it was very superstitious. It didn't matter what came across. They want to hear about it. They was interested in it. So it almost seemed like Paul didn't have a problem preaching Jesus to them, because they're so used to hearing all this different stuff. You know, and so Paul warned Timothy. He said, in the last days, he said, for the time is going to come that they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And so all they wanted to hear is myths, feebles, fables, and all of this different stuff, you know, strange things. And so we living in the last days because people are, man, they're not enduring sound doctrine. They're not standing with the gospel. They're not, I mean, it's a blessing to see the mothers and the elders of the church still worshiping God, still talking about Jesus, still telling the young people you need to be saved. They still saying the same thing that they've been saying all their life. That's a blessing. And they are keeping the sound doctrine. But some of us, we're getting away from the sound doctrine. We don't want to keep the sound doctrine. You know, our ears are getting so tickled to where we want to be like them. We want to hear something new. You know, my mama used to talk to me about that, mother. I heard that before, mother. I know mama used to say that all the time. Brother daddy used to say that. I know it. But tell me something new. Well, I'm telling you something new. This is good news. It's the gospel. And so people find a way to have their ears tickled because they want to hear all of this strange stuff. You know, they just cannot endure the temptations. They can't endure the trials, the tests. You know, I'm tired of people telling me to just hold on. One sister told me that when I ran up on her and she had stopped coming to church. And all I said, you just be encouraged. You just hold on. You know, God gonna, he gonna do it for you, sister. Yes, he will. Well, I'm tired of people telling me, oh, what you want me to tell you? You know, you want something new? You should be glad I'm telling you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. God is able to bring you out. You know, he can put you back where you was because God used to use her in dreams and visions. I don't know because he don't use me in dreams and visions no more, Al. I said, well, sister, what are he going to use you in dreams and visions for? You ain't in church. God give us gifts to help his people. You know, we need the help. God don't want to see us fall. You know, so I stayed on because God put me over in that area. And I just every time and always on her street. I said, Lord, I know this ain't nobody but you. And a few times it went on and on. She'd be outside waiting for me. My wife's best friend, one of her best friends. And I say, sister, I'm telling you. I know. I just wore down, mother. One day she came in here and sat right in front of Dee Dee. What Dee Dee said. And she gave her life back to the Lord. And that day, God used her in vision and dream. And gave me a bad dream. Something happened to one of my sons. Since I saw as clear as day. I was doing my hair and God, hey, something gonna happen bad to one of your sons. And she called his name in particular. I said, okay, yeah. Super Saint Al. Like, but I wasn't worried about it. I ain't let it shake me. But I ain't telling you I didn't go and fast and pray. I ain't telling you I didn't go and tell my wife so we can stand together. We rebuked that thing. We did everything we know to do. But what God showed her came to pass. He said he's going to lose his life. He's going to lose his life, Al. But I said, thank you, Lord. She didn't stop right there. But I saw God bringing him through. That's exactly what happened. Y'all know the story about Al. If y'all don't, y'all. She saw him dead, medically dead. I got a phone call, 5 o'clock in the morning. Me and Tawana laying in bed, we just talking right before I go to work. The doctor said, you can come up now. Your son is stable. You can come and see him. I'm like, what is you talking about? Yeah. Get up there, looked at him. He was messed up. I mean, police said they found him in the middle of Mexico Road. Gone. Lifeless. Medically, clinically dead. Pronounced dead. But I remember what God said. I didn't stop where he said he's going to die. I said, but Lord, you said. I said, you said you would bring him through. Man, I got down to the hospital, boy, and I just prayed and asked God to, you know, to have mercy. He was already there, but he told me his story. He said, I saw myself rise up and I went somewhere, Daddy. And the things that he was telling me, I know that it to be true. Some of the things that line up with the stuff that you see on YouTube, but he was quoting scriptures that he didn't know he was quoting. And I knew that he was telling the truth. And to this day, he'll tell you. He said, that big hole there, that abyss, he said, I saw that. Because I sent him a YouTube video. He said, that's true. He said, I saw that. And so God delivered him. Came to church. God gave me a dream. Said he's going to get saved again because he got saved over in Illinois and passed a preacher one day. Came here. I'm sitting right here. And I'm just crying out to God. Not for him. I was crying out for Jack.
And the Lord, Pastor said, look, boy, and he was right here, like that. Jack, Shelby, not you, because it was Jackie, Shelby, and somebody else that was behind him. And I said, Lord, you showed it to me just like you said.
But God is so real. He is true to his word. Man, if you can believe God, I mean through the hottest trials. Paul wanted to tell these people about this unknown God. He said that they was worshiping ignorantly. So many people are worshiping God so ignorantly. That means that you just don't know how to worship. They didn't know how to worship God. They didn't even know what to call him. But I heard that they would get down at this unknown altar and just lift their hands up and just cry out to this unknown God. And Paul, God had to send Paul to tell him who this unknown God is. His name is Jesus. That's who he is. You can call him. You ain't got to call him unknown. You can write on this altar now, Jesus is his name. Paul declared them that this is the God that created the heavens and the earth. This is the God that created man in his image. This is the God that created the trees, the clouds. This is the God that you're calling on that you don't know how. Jesus said, look, the time is going to come, and now is, that when the true worshipers gonna worship him in spirit and in truth. God looking for a true worshiper. They didn't know how to worship God, but God didn't even hold that against them. There's so many people don't know how to worship God, but they know for sure without a doubt that there is a greater power out there, but they just don't know how to acknowledge him. They don't know how to call on his name. They don't know nothing about him because they never heard a story. They never heard about a testimony about God bringing them out. They never heard about nobody being healed. They never heard about nobody being delivered. They never heard about nobody being raised from the dead. All of this was new to them, but Paul had to come to, look, this ain't new, man. Ain't nothing new under the sun. This stuff old news. You just don't know. I tell my sons, I said, man, this stuff out here old. Ain't nothing new out here. It's the only thing new out here is you. New players to this old game. Ain't nothing new out here. So don't think you're getting into something new. Been there, done that. That's what your mom and daddy going to tell you. And you look at them like they're crazy. Been there, done that. And some of them ain't been there and some ain't been there. But they know ain't nothing new under the sun. This wasn't new, but it was new to them. So Paul had to declare who Jesus was to them. He's Alpha, he's Omega. He's the beginning and he's the ending. He's a strong tower. He's a mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus. Jesus is everything that we need him to be. He is I am. Well, they said that was God. He is God. He is God in the flesh. Man, I mean, he's just amazing God. Ain't gonna make himself a body. Put himself in the body. Name his own self. I'm Jesus. Call me Emmanuel. Call me Jehovah Jireh. Call me Jehovah Nisi. Call me Jehovah Shalom. He's an amazing God. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? I don't want to serve no God where I got to bring things to try to get something for. God didn't tell us none of that. All he wants you to bring is a sacrifice of praise. That's what he wants you to bring. He said, I gave gifts unto men. I gave favor to man. They didn't do nothing for it. I gave it to them because you didn't do nothing to deserve it. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. You ain't got to bring me no more cattle. I had a lamb and he was slain. He died for the sins of the world. And I ain't going to let nothing else take the place of that. It was finished when he gave his life. When he spilt his blood on purpose. It wasn't by accident. He said, no man took my life. I lay it down. Because I loved you. I loved you, 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 you. I love your generation that ain't even here yet. I love them. That's why I got to lay it down. So Paul had to tell him who this unknown God is. Don't nobody know who God is. You need to know who he is today. If you need to know who Jesus is, he is the lily of the valley. He's the son of the living God. That's who Jesus is. He's a great God. When you just sit back and just think about who he is, it just blows your mind. You know, the older saints used to say, he's a wonder in my soul. Man, every time I look around, I just wonder, Lord, how did you do that? He said, I just said it. That's all, Al. I just spoke it. How do you get what you want? He said, just say it. Just ask. Ask and believe. And I'll do it for you. That's who God is. He's a merciful God. He's the on time God. When you need him. When you need him. I mean, boy, when you need him, he's right there. Don't ever feel like God ain't near you. You can feel like it, but you better believe he's there with you. Sometimes you do feel alone. Sometimes you feel like ain't nobody there. Your spouse can be sitting right there next to you. You be going through some stuff. I don't feel nobody presence. But Lord, I know that you are by my side because you said you will never leave me nor forsake me. You will always be there with me until the end. And we ain't got to the end yet. And God is going to be there with you. God bless you this morning. Know that God is that unknown God. I'm so glad everybody in here is saved and know that Jesus is that God. You ain't got to be wondering if it's three gods, two gods. Ain't but one God. And he's just that bad, man. He bad. You know, he make it seem three-chord Molly. Like it's three. Ain't but one. But I see three. That's one. I see three. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. That's one. I don't understand his mathematician. He's a multiplier. But he do something too with just three that make one. He's good, ain't he? He's a mighty God. He's a great God. Give God some praise. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. If you need anything from God, all you got to do is ask him. Anything. If you know anybody else that needs something from God, all you got to do is ask him. He said you can stand in the gap. He said that, look, if we can be called the repairer of the breaches. We are supposed to be repairing breaches. We're supposed to be doing it. Yeah, we go through. We have our issues. But God has put something down inside of us to make us strong. His spirit. That when we see a need, the stuff that we go through, they become like this. Because you didn't see a greater need in somebody else. Oh, Jesus said, look, I have meat that you know not of. We got meat that they know not of. It's meat down inside of us that we're going to be speaking life to people. Because God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost is inside of you. God bless you this morning. Anybody need prayer? Nobody need prayer. Let's just give them one more good clap offering. Give them some praise. Give them some praise this morning because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's a mighty God. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And remember, I got to keep reminding us that every second Wednesday, we try to come out and pray. Keep the faith. It's going to happen. One day it's going to happen. It's going to happen. One day, I keep saying one day, one day you're going to come down with that thing like this. You're going to be holding it. It ain't going to be holding you. I believe it. Somebody on crutches, they're going to come in, they're going to have the crutches. I came here on a walker one time. I left carrying that walker, though. God is a man. Say he's something else. Let's stand to our feet. I'm not going to try to hold you. Let's stand to your feet. We're going to dismiss it. We have, come on, mama, correct me. That's why, look, this is what I'm talking about. The mothers of Zion. We have prayer every Wednesday, but we're asking that the saints of the Revival Center or anybody, please try to get here on the second Wednesday of every month. At least that Wednesday. If you don't make those other Wednesdays, give God that one Wednesday. Because together we can stand divided with all. It's harder when you got one or two, but we can do it. One can put 1,000 flights, says Stephanie. 2, 10,000. But just imagine we get 5 or 6, or 7 or 8, 9, 10. Man, the things that the people have seen in this church, I believe it's going to happen. Because we've been obedient to God. We've been obedient to God. Please remember our pastor, our leader, angel of this church, the love of my life. Keep her in prayer. The devil is a lie, ain't he? The devil is a what? He's a lie, and he's the what? Father of all lies. So he just lying, and the truth ain't in him. She gonna come out as pure gold. She coming out, whatever she going through. Just a light thing to God. Just a light thing, mother said. But our light afflictions, Paul said, but for a moment. But they cannot compare to the eternal weight that we have in glory. Man. So the thing that you're going through, call it a light thing. Nothing else, let's bow our heads. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank and praise you, Lord God, for who you are, God, and what you have done, God, and what you're yet doing for us, Lord, daily, God. Oh, God, not just daily, but God, every second, God, that you have been a blessing to us, Lord. We thank and praise you, Father God, for watching over us and keeping us, Lord. We thank you for your word, God, that you give us, Lord. Help us, God, to get our daily bread, God. You said man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of your mouth. So, Lord God, we need this word, God, daily, God, that we must feed, God, this spiritual man, God, in the name of Jesus, so he won't be lacking, God, in strength, God, lacking in wisdom, Lord God. We pray, Father God, that you would just look in on our pastor again, Lord. Keep her, Lord. Strengthen her, Father. In the name of Jesus, our brothers and sisters here that are need, God, of healing, oh God. Lord, we believe, God, and we know that you can. We know that you will. But Father, help us, God, to press on toward that mark, God. Help us to press, Father God, toward that healing and know that you will, God. In the name of Jesus, that you will heal the knees, the backs, Lord God. Lord, the shoulders, oh God, the head, God, the feet, Lord. Lord, you heal the body. In the name of Jesus. Now, God, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, we pray, Father God, that you'll watch, oh God, over us, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.